It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, we are in the book of Mark. Last week we finished 14th chapter. Today is 15th chapter. Book of Mark, chapter 15, starting from verse 1.
And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate.
Now here we see, when he say, and straight away in the morning. Last week, if you remember, where the Peter denied Jesus Christ three times. And he was there where the fire was burning and they were warming themselves. So it was a morning because rooster crow. So whole night they were discussing with Jesus and having so much problem. Maybe they kept him overnight in the prison or what. But here we see early in the morning all the priests got together and they are counseling and they are finding out what we should do. And so they already figured it out in their mind. They are going to ask the Pilate to kill him. If they were reading the prophecies, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse 2.
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
They took counsel against the Lord and against his anointed one. Now, if these people were reading the Bible, because they're supposed to be scholars, readers of the Bible, teachers of the Bible, and they studied the Word of God, and these scriptures never came to their mind. They are sitting together, taking counsel from all the chiefs and high priests and all those people, and trying to kill Jesus Christ. But here he says they were against the Lord and against his anointed. Once somebody sitting there to kill somebody, they are not against only that person, they are against God. Because God hates killing. God hates somebody to, you know, put to death. So that's why the Word of God says, do not kill, do not murder. That was the commandment. These people knowing the commandment, and they are not killing ordinary person. They are killing the anointed one, the Christ. And that's what the Word of God is saying. Let's read Mark chapter 15, verse 2.
And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so the Pilate marveled.
See now here, the high priests, the scholars, Pilate, all those people are asking him questions and some of them accusing him. Now, we are ordinary people. If somebody says to us something we didn't do, we get so much anger and why I can take this kind of abuse? I didn't do anything. I'm not going to take this thing. But Jesus, the Word of God says, he kept quiet. The Word of God says this was prophesied. Let's go to the Isaiah 53, verse 7.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth.
This prophecy fulfilled at that particular time, because they were trying to accuse him, trying to irritate him, but he kept his mouth shut. Verse 6.
Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them.
this Barabbas was the killer, robber. I don't know how many people he murdered, how many people he destroyed. And when Pilate is asking, once in a year, we release somebody, can we release your king? They start thinking, we have no king. We have only king is Caesar. So they are asking, give us the wicked man, the man who is bad to the society, and they are asking, give us Barabbas. Now, can you imagine at that time, if Barabbas is listening these things, what would happen to his mind? This is my golden opportunity. I am in death row. If they kill Jesus, if he's the Son of God, he'll be okay. But me, I will be never be released this kind of situation. Only Jesus released him. Barabbas might be crucified also, because they used to crucify the criminals. So Barabbas got relief because of Jesus. The same way, we are not thinking about we are Barabbas, but in the sight of God, we are all sinners. If Jesus didn't die, we will be dying for our sins. Okay, verse 12.
And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him.
Now, Pilate is telling these people, you call him the King of the Jews. Now, they might be not admitting he's the King of the Jews, but the Bible teaches them. You remember when these wise men came and they asked to the king, we came to see the newborn king. He said, where is that king supposed to be born? So they call all the scribes and all the Jewish leaders and ask them, where he's supposed to be born? And they tell them, in Bethlehem. And that's the place he is going to be born. So this thing was not secret to these people. They knew he is a future king. But why they kill him? They said, he's getting more popular than us. So get rid of him. That's what, just like a competition, a business competition, and somebody has a business next to him and he's doing better, then they want to destroy his business. So they wanted to kill him. Let's go to the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
The ruler who is going to come, he's not a new ruler. He's from the old, from everlasting. So Jesus Christ is not like he came to this world and he was born. He is Alpha and Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And that's the king was going to come, and he will be born in Bethlehem and rule over Israel. But they didn't understand that kind of prophecy at that particular time. And so they wanted to destroy him. Okay, let's go further. Verse 14.
Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified.
See, now here also Pilate playing a game with these people. Now Pilate came to know this Jesus Christ is innocent. And he already said to the people, I don't find any fault in him. He even washed his hand. He said, I don't want any guilt. And his wife, the Bible says, she convinced him, please don't make this person guilty or crucify him. Save his life. Because she got some miracle from Jesus. He's not saying what, but she was blessed by Christ. And she got dreams and vision about Christ that she should not be allowing her husband to do any kind of judgment on him. But still this person saw the public going in one way and he's like isolated. Those people even start saying, if you don't crucify him and if he's the king of the Jews and you're helping the king of the Jews, that means you are against the Caesar. Caesar is our government, and if you're supporting another king, mean another party, You are not belong to our party. So we will be kick you out. Now today they vote them out. But that time they will say, okay, he is the friend of the king of Israel, the Jesus Christ. And so he is not for Caesar. And he did not give the Jesus simply in their hand. I was just thinking, why did he do this? He scourged him, means he punished him. He gave him a lot of punishment. You saw that passion show, how much he got beating, and then he gave it to the people's hand. So he didn't have to do this, but why did he do it? Let's go to the book of Isaiah 53 again, verse 4 to 4, 5 and verse 8.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
See, this was prophesied, that Jesus Christ took your sorrow, your pain, your sickness, your disease, and with his stripes we are healed. We learn today, or we learn now, that 39 stripes they put it on him. If they do 40, then they cannot beat him again. So they will beat him for 39 times, take a break, and start all over again, 1 to 39. And so they can beat him as many as the time they want. So why 39? So now we see all the sickness and disease comes in 39 categories. Any disease, new disease pops up, and then they analyze what category will go. One of the 39 categories that disease will fall. And so 39 stripes he took, that means each and every sickness, disease in the world comes or will come. Jesus died for those things. And with his stripes, we are healed. Go to the 1 Peter chapter 2 and start reading from verse 21.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
See, he's also explaining why Jesus suffered. He suffered for you and for me. And he said, now he set us an example that we can follow his steps. That means we should not get quick angry. If somebody punch me, I'm going to punch him back, even though we have strength to do that. But Jesus Christ is an example. St. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. That means sometimes we can do something harm to somebody, but we are born again children of God, then we have to think, I am crucified with Christ. My hands are not my hands anymore. My body is not my body anymore, because Jesus Christ purchased me on the cross of Calvary with his precious blood. So I am belong to Jesus Christ. So he suffered for you and for me. He did not have sin. He did not commit any sin, but he was crucified for you and for me. Verse 16.
And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him.
These people were trying to make fun of Christ, thinking, you're the king? We will give you like a cloth like a king, and we will give you the crown of thorns. And those thorns are not ordinary thorns. Those thorns, if you prick, they will go into your brain, and you can have a lot of pain and damage and blood, and that kind of thing. And they start hitting on that crown. They start mocking him and hitting him with a reed, he says, with a rod. and bowing down their heads and kneeling down and worshipping him, not from their heart, but falsely, trying to say, "You are God, you are King, we are bowing down to you." But let's read the Micah chapter 5, verse 1 and 2.
"Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting."
See, we just read a few minutes ago, but what he's trying to say, he was a king. He was going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was from everlasting to everlasting. But these people are trying to make fun of him, that he is not king, he is nobody, and let's make fun of him. But the Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, we read, "One day will come that the whole world, all his enemies, and all the people who crucified him, they will kneel down and worship him."
"That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
See, right now means that particular time, they were making fun of him, but they didn't know he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and one day will come, all the people who made fun of him, they will be bowing down their head to him and worship. The time is coming. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. And all the kingdoms of the earth will belong to Jesus Christ. And all the people who are against Christianity and against Christ, they will bowing down their head to Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 15 and verse 20.
"And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his crown, to bear his cross."
Now just think about this. They already scourged him, beat him, carrying his cross, falling down many, many times, and we saw the Passion movie. Some people cannot even see it. That's the kind of punishment he took. He had no strength to get up and walk. And the man coming from the countryside, and from this he is a black person, strong built, and he was minding his business. And they said, "Hey, come and pick up the cross." And I was just thinking, why this happened like this? This man coming from nowhere and without his permission, they are forcing him to pick up the cross. Today's society, we won't be able to do this, right? But in those days, the government owns the people. Means they are slave to government. If the king, whatever he says, the governor and all of the people will obey. Those are the way the kings were. And so they didn't ask his permission. "Come on and take this cross and just walk." And this man didn't say anything. He took the cross and went up to the Calvary. Now I was thinking, if that man didn't come on time, Jesus would have been dead on the way, because he was not able to get up or not able to try to take his cross. They might have tried everything, kicked him and hit him, "Get up and take your cross," but he might be falling on his face or in his body, and we are going to kill him now if he doesn't take the cross. But this was not the plan of God, that Jesus Christ can die in Gethsemane or die carrying the cross. He's supposed to go on the cross. So what happened? God sent some person to carry his cross. So I was thinking, there is a scripture in the Word of God. When you're suffering a lot and you thinking I cannot take it anymore. It's too much for me. And that's why some people kill themselves. They cannot bear the pain. They said, it's too much. I cannot take it. But the Word of God says, God makes the way for you. He will not allow you to suffer, but He will make a way. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it.
See, the temptation or trial, when it comes in your way and it says, oh, I cannot bear this, or it is impossible for me to go through this, it's too much for me to do it. The Word of God says there is no trial you cannot handle it. If He did it for His Son, He can do it for you, right? He sent the right person, the right time. When we are born again children of God, God does a miracle. He sends even the angel to minister to you. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
See, they are ministering spirit. Who are they? The angels. They minister to you. To whom? Who are born again or belong to the kingdom of God. Those are the people get helped in the time of trouble. When you have nowhere to go, and you are trapped in something and feel like there is no way out. What the Word of God says, in your time of trouble and sorrow and pain, call upon Jesus and I will answer you. So we have to call upon God and He will send the angels to minister to us. Read the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3.
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul.
Now, in this list, if you see, so many people were against Christ. So many people are in a high position and believe like this man who helped Jesus Christ to carry the cross. All these people were touched by Christ. And the Word of God says those people all gathered together in Antioch. And in Antioch, they were called Christian for the first time. So the point I'm making, if you suffer for Christ, you are not suffering in vain. Because in this world suffering, comparing to what we're going to get in heaven, is nothing. Our life is short in this world, maybe 120. But what we're going to get in heaven, eternity. That means no number, no death. We keep on living forever. So the short time we're living in this world, so trials and tribulations and problems comes, we say we cannot take it. The Word of God says, I will rescue you. I will make the way out of it. Call upon me. I will even send the angels to minister to you. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 15, verse 22.
And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not.
See, when they brought him to the place called the place of skull, what does it mean? In that place, many people were crucified. And many people's body were throwing like this. And some of them maybe not buried. An animal came and ate them. And some of their skull were still lying in that area. So they said, okay, let's call this place Golgotha, or the place of skull. When he came there, Jesus Christ was tired, weary, and so much pain. And so they gave him some kind of a drink, almost like a liquor, like a painkiller. They gave it to him. The Word of God says he received it not. Most of the time, we are living in the world. We have so much pain. we have so much suffering, and then the world will say, take a glass of beer or take a glass of liquor and go to bed. You will forget your pain. That's just like a pacifier. But when you take it and sleep and get up in the morning, that pain is still there, or maybe more. You feel vomiting or dizzy and more problem than before. And so, that is not the answer. Jesus Christ didn't say, okay, I'm suffering, and I didn't drink anything like this in my life, but now I'm dying anyhow. Let me take this drink and forget my pain. You can be a virgin for maybe 20 years and never touch any man. But one day or 1 minute, you lost your virginity, you're gone, right? It's not virgin anymore. The same way when you living for God for this many years, never touched this kind of thing, never touched unclean things, and now they are tempting him to take it, he said he did not take it. He didn't want it, and he did not receive it. Let's read verse 24.
And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take.
Now see, his garments, some of the garments they took it. But one gown he had, seamless. I don't know who made it. His mother made it, or who gave it to him, or it was godly gown. I have no idea. And so I don't know, this might be the much more precious. So when they start saying, who will get this? So they put lots to get it. And the word of God said that was a prophecy. Let's read in Psalm chapter 22, verse 18.
They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture.
See, this prophecy fulfilled at the time they were crucifying him. So each and every prophecy about Jesus Christ we see fulfilled. Verse 25.
And it was the third hour, and they crucified him.
Do you know when the third hour is in our language? 9 o'clock in the morning. They crucified him. So the 9 o'clock to the afternoon, 3 o'clock, he was on the cross and suffering for us. Verse 26.
And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left.
Now here it says, the board was written, the King of the Jews. But in this book doesn't say anything, book of Mark. But in another gospel it says, those Jewish people, those Pharisees came to Pilate, change that. Don't write that, the King of the Jews. Write like this, he says, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate said, whatever I wrote, I'm not going to change it. This man dying on the cross, we got what we asked, and he's suffering, but they are still worried about the heading. And they did not want him to be their king. But they want it, or they do not want it. One of these days, Jesus Christ will be their king.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.